Sure.
Know that they're there and you've read them, and then we're going to share some of the things that the Lord's put on Bob's heart, etc. I'm going to grab this one with the verse 17 to 21, Acts 2, 17 to 21, says, it shall be in the last days, God says, I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit. They shall prophesy. I will grant wonders in the sky above. I will grant signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the glorious day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the Lord shall be saved. There's five verses here, and 12 times the Lord says, I will or I shall do this and this. Very emphatic passage. The point of it is this, is that the Lord said that in the last days, it was not fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Joel was taking this passage out of Joel 2. Peter was quoting out of Joel chapter 2. Very, very limited fulfillment in his day. It was not a passage for one day in Israel or for maybe a couple year period of time. This is a passage of which all the nations of the world will see the outpouring of the Spirit. So Peter was lifting Joel 2 and giving it a temporary or a limited application of the day of Pentecost. The real thing in God's heart was for the last days before the Lord comes, the spirit of prophecy, dreams and visions, the outpouring of the Spirit across the nations, men and women, boys and girls shall move in the power of the Spirit. And that's the Lord's intention, to cover the earth with the fullness of His Spirit.
Amen.
One of the things that we've come to understand is this thing in verse 19 about wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath. Now, in verse 19, the wonders and the sign, the wonders in the heavens and the signs on the earth, are to verify the vision and the dream of verse 17. What we've seen happen on a number of occasions is that those with the prophetic manna will come and they'll give a dream or a vision. What they'll do is they will talk about a wonder in the sky or a sign on the earth, something in creation, and they'll give the time and the date, and they'll say, this vision is such and such, and here's how you know it's from the Lord. That like one time Bob got up at the end of May of 1983 and said, this vision is of the Lord, and he gives the vision. He said, here's the sign in the heavens. This isn't a thing that anybody can manipulate. He says, there'll be a drought in the city for 3 months. It's at the end of May, and he says, and exactly on August 23rd, he's giving this about May 28th, he's giving this word. Sure. He says, exactly on August 23rd, the rains will come and break the drought. That's a sign in the heavens to verify that the dream and vision that I'm sharing with you, because he gave us a vision, it's a true vision. This vision had a long period of time. It had 20 to 30 years before it would be fully fulfilled. There's no way we could fully know if the vision was valid. And the Lord said, here's how you'll know. The sign will appear in the heavens. And we've seen these signs first in the form of weather patterns being predicted with precision. And then he has seen this. Paul Kane has seen this guy. John Paul Jackson, one of the other prophetic brothers, is that the date of comets coming across the heavens, unpredicted by science, and things like that. And so the Lord's shaking up the earth through the release of the prophetic spirit. Dreams and visions, that's on the Lord's agenda. That's coming down. It can't be stopped. One guy said, I don't know if I believe in this. I said, you know, I don't even have to discuss it with you because I know you got a sincere heart. And 5 years from now, it will be a redundant argument. It's so inevitable. I said, let's just fellowship about something. Blood is coming from heaven, and there's nothing that's going to stop it from happening. Okay, turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Acts 3, yes. Okay, in verse 19, it says, repent and turn that your sins would be wiped away, Acts 3:19, in order that times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. There's times of refreshing that are coming. I'm reading from the New American Standard here. That he may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. Now here's the verse, verse 21. Whom heaven must receive, or heaven must retain Jesus until the period of restoration of all things. There's a thing which the prophet spoke about. Did you know that there's a time called the period of the restoration of all things?
Yes.
That heaven must retain Jesus.
Yes.
Until the time when all things are restored.
Yes.
We talk about the sign of the coming of the Lord, and different people have different signs. The number one sign of the coming of the Lord from heaven, the second coming, the number one sign is the period where God fully restores the church in all ways. That the fivefold ministry is going to be restored. The power of the Spirit, the wisdom of the New Testament apostles is going to be fully restored. I don't mean we're not going to have anything added to Scripture. I don't mean that. But I mean we're going to have insight into what they wrote in the Word. Maybe even insight beyond what some of them had. Who knows? But it's going to be the Holy Word. That will never deviate. Those are the ancient landmarks that can never be changed. The Word of God, the written Word. But God's going to give great illumination to His Word. And those that are the seed form of which we've read many verses, we've only seen the seed form application. It's going to expand and increase beyond anything we could imagine. But I want you to know that we are now entering into a period, what I believe this is this period, called the period of the restoration of all things. It's biblical, it's on the time charts of heaven, it's coming down from above, and nothing can stop it. We're going to enter into the full restoration of the purpose of God.
Amen.
The full restoration of the purpose of God. And then Jesus comes after the period of restoration. The church is not going to have some escape hatch, which we just are gone in a moment. We're not going in defeat. The enemy is not going to defeat us. That the church is going to be triumphant when the Lord comes to have it, you know, for Himself. And so, one more verse, and then Bob has a passage about Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. So Acts 2, the Spirit of God is going to cover the earth. Acts 3, a period of the restoration of all things. I believe all things as it pertains to God's purpose is what I don't think it means all things and, you know, evil things. But although the enemy is certainly going to revive some things as well. But the all things is God's purpose in the church is which I believe that's the focus of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians 4, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. Why? Ephesians 4:11. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. We've read that passage, you've all understood that. Verse 13, now here's the thing. Here's the key word of verse 13, until. These verse 11 ministries are given until a certain thing happens. And the Lord will not hold them back until the end result happens. He says in verse 11, God gave them, verse 13, until something takes place. Now this is the three things that are going to be taking place before apostles are finished in God's program and prophets. Until we attain to the unity of the faith. The Lord's going to cause unity in His purpose across the earth. Number two, until we attain to the knowledge of the Son of God. There's a deep, intimate knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ in a far deeper way than I think we've understood up to date. And number three, until the church is a mature man to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, it's interesting. It's an interesting point that the church is a mature man. The person is a one singular corporate man. It's not many, many different things. The church is going to function as one unit under the headship of Jesus, even across the nations. Now, I believe in the churches and the different locales, but the Lord's going to cause something to happen where they work in one divine harmony across the ends of the earth.
Oh, absolutely.
So until the church is a mature man, how mature? Until the measure of the stature which belongs to the maturity of Jesus. Mm. Now, when we look at the maturity of Jesus on His earthly ministry, the Lord said that the corporate church together Now, this almost sounds like heresy, but it is the Word of God. It's several other places too. And I read this, I go, Lord, you know, this is just really incredible. That when we look at the maturity of Jesus in his earthly ministry for 3 years, the Lord says that the church will be as mature, it will be to the measure of the stature, the same dimension of maturity
yes.
as the Lord himself was during his ministry. And we look at that and we say, oh, Lord, I mean, are you sure? I mean, this sounds almost like heresy. But I believe that Acts 3:20, the Lord's going to be held back in heaven until the restoration, the maturity of his purpose. And the apostles and prophets, etc., are going to be functioning until these three things take place. There's a lot of talk today about do those offices exist or do they not? I believe they fully exist. I'm deeply convinced of that, but I believe that they're so embryonic today, it's not very profitable to try to name them all and describe them all in great depth. But surely God is going to restore and bring to maturity apostles, true, bona fide, New Testament-level apostles, prophets. Now, evangelists, pastor teaching, now they're not going to write the Word of God like the apostles. Like I said, these are the ancient boundaries, this Word is, and nothing could go beyond this Word. This Word is the boundary lines of God's revelation, and never ever is to exceed or add to this Word. But I'm just saying is that we're waiting in intercession, and as we're actively participating in God's kingdom as well, we're saying, Lord, we're believing you for this thing called the period of the restoration of all things. For this time where the church, where the fivefold ministry would be released until the church is fully mature. And that's where we're headed. And it's an exciting hour, and that's what the Lord wants us to focus on this morning. Now, Bob had a revelation this morning. And then if we go to the July 3rd, if you've got that on your heart after that.
One thing that I spoke to Vineyard when they came to Kansas City, one thing has been accompanying me where I've been going. That thing's been rain. I told Vineyard...
It's really true. Everywhere he goes, it rains. It's like everywhere Paul came, goes,
when
the plane's late.
When I was going to go to Denver, that... the flood would pour off the mountains. I went to Denver on June the 3rd. I mean, several thousand people can testify of this. They heard me say the prophecy beforehand. It came one of the 50-year or the 100-year floods in Denver on June the 3rd. On August the 6th, I went to Fort Collins, Colorado. I brought a word about a 3.5-year drought. They had been in 3.5-year drought. 10 minutes after we left and got out of town, we had to go back to Denver that night. It came a flood. I was told to pack the clothes and move to California. I believe that this means get the prophets dressed. I'm not moving out here naturally until I get a more confirming word now. But I believe what he was saying, I'm going to move.
Now, you'd love him. Just take good care of him if he comes.
I'm going to move. I'm going to dress the prophets and move them in California. Get ready for a move in California.
Glory.
Get ready to have the prophets come in where you're not blind anymore, where you got eyes. When God is going to... Well, I'll go on that one a little later. Yesterday, some of you here, I told you a door was open to you in the north. Your children are north. I have laid hands on children back with us. We have a tremendous move with our children, seeing signs and wonders right now, visiting with angels. And when I do that, I don't want you parents saying, well, son or daughter, that's not right. It's okay if you say, well, that's your imagination because that's where they're seeing it through, the golden imagination. But it is true. That's where they begin to see the signs and wonders. And now, with us last Tuesday night back in Kansas City, the children, the Spirit of God fell on the children and the children's ministry to come outside, what I hear, and begin to do signs and wonders out in the, what they call the main ministry, but children's the main ministry to be. Y'all are just second grade.
They came out laying hands on the parents. The parents were all falling under the power of the Spirit. And actually, we got some parents really angry about this because they're concerned it's a cult. I mean, I can't hardly believe this because we've been saying this for years, yeah. And they're starting to see angels now. There's 12 to 15 of them. They're seeing angels regularly, daily or daily. And there's confusion everywhere, though. It's not as... we thought it'd be real beautiful, but there's division in our ranks because of it happening right now.
Some of the things that the angels are telling these children, you'd have a hard time understanding. But it's every bit scripture. They're also saying, well, my aunt's pregnant. And 2 weeks later, we find she's pregnant. They've been trying to get pregnant for 4 years. There's a tremendous move. But also, there's a double parable for you in the north. That brother being here today and coming up here, that was no accident. Sweden. You got a northern door open to you. Start praying on that. Start birthing the anointing. For this is what he was also saying. Children always take first priority with me. You come second with me. But the Lord is saying also, that door in the north that is open, it's for the signs and wonders. It's the showbread, which are the children's bread that you're to export to Sweden, the power of the signs and the wonders. Another thing, when Mike was going to the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you didn't tell him everything yesterday. You get back and tell him again that vineyard anointing is this. John Wimber and Jack and the Beanstalk, he had three purposes. To bring in praise, the golden harp. To get you geese. To speak in God's word, which is golden eggs. And the axe. To begin to chop down the unfruitful things. And to reveal the axe, the book of Acts.
Now, if some of you are here for the first time, Brent will have to fill
he can
on Jack and the Beanstalk.
If you've got any questions after we leave, just go to Brent.
Yeah.
But Vineyard is called to exhibit the axe. And you know what happens when you exhibit the axe and you raise the dead and cancer start dropping off? You're going to see persecution like you've never seen before because the dead churches are going to get emptied.
And the church is going to be more angry than the world will. The first kind of church being angry. Like I said, these last two or three, 4 weeks, this has been happening in Kansas City. And there's angry people about the children seeing this. They think it's the mystical, it's the occult realm. They're really paranoid about it. I mean, some of the best folks that have been the most diligent. It's totally shocking to predict that.
I've looked at them children. I've looked at their hearts. On their level, they're adding a little imagination to it. So what? Any child that's born has got to be cleaned up. Every birth is a bloody birth. And you got to get it cleaned up and get it presentable. But they are growing. They are believing. It ought to shake mom and daddy real good and get them to doing the same thing. This is the children of the righteous. This is normal. They are normal Christians. Growing up in the book of Acts, doing it. Not reading about it or wishing it, but doing it. And I've looked at them. What they are doing and what they're seeing and the scriptures the angels give them real. And they're just bubbling over. They don't even know what the much that pride. The worst pride I see is it's the two extremes. Some in their false pride and the doubt that surrounds them here, the strongest doubt in the body of Christ and the greatest pride is doubt surrounding your spirit. The greatest pride in you is doubt in God. And I'll tell you, these kids are shaking daddy and mama's doubt. So the sin with us is some of them, like he's saying there, they're getting into their sin of doubts really showing up. And of course, mom and daddy seeing her little old loved one bring a real word. A little pride's coming in there too.
There you go.
Yeah. But I'd rather see that than to see that other corruption that God can't deal with in your life, and do you let him? I want to tell you something about daddy and mama. The Lord told me a long time ago, don't worry about you getting in that exalted pride, Bob. I've got a pen, and it's just hot air. And it's just like a hot air balloon, and I know just what to do. Pop! Woo!
Boom.
Better that way. I can bring you to a balance in that type of pride than I can lift you out of false pride to where the doubt surrounds your spirit, and you don't believe anything. So I'll tell you, the book of Acts at Vineyard is going to swing. It's going to shake a lot of things. And a lot of good building programs are going to go unpaid for.
Because people will leave those buildings.
Yeah, they'll absolutely leave that which has no spirit in it, where they see God move. They're waiting all over the world now. Christians are defeated all over the world, saying, God, just show us where you are, and we'll come and join your purpose. Now, in John or Jack and the Beanstalk, that third ministry was the axe. It's several places in Scripture. And I believe it's in Jeremiah 51, too, about God's axe. You are God's axe. And he's going to use these books of Acts to glorify his kingdom and prepare a body again. So now first, I'll give you the salt before I give you the sugar. I see what I see. I just simply see. I see your good and your bad. And I'll get on to things. Many years ago, in 77, the Lord struck my hands with lightning.
With natural lightning.
A natural bolt of lightning. That's why the fire said, any time the Lord is going to start a fire, he sends a supernatural lightning to do it. And for you to start your own fire is a wildfire. This is why that he killed the two sons of Aaron. When they entered into his presence and offered their own fire, their own stuff.
That's Leviticus 9 and 10, Nadab and Abihu.
Leviticus 9 and 10. The Lord struck them and killed them because they were so presumptuous to come in and to believe that they could offer strange fire. Well, the Lord will send the fire, and you can impart it to as many as desires once you got a pilot light burning in you. And that's what he's putting in Vineyard, a pilot light. I can lay hands on you, and that fire of God that struck me, I'm only a vessel. You get the real fire. And that's why I'm talking about laying my hands on your children. Because I know who they are. I know what I come back to see. And they're the generations the world's been travailing for. But if you continue to read in that Leviticus, you'll find that one of the next commandments the Lord gave, you shall not come near to me drinking wine or strong drinks. And that's one of your dangers here. A strong drinks is called spirits. And many of you sort of got a party spirit here. You sure don't want to abuse alcohol. And with myself, I am an ex-alcoholic. I can't take a drink, period. I have no desire to take one either. And so you don't want to get into the party spirit here. Because when you abuse alcohol or you get loaded, it's called spirits. It opens you up for the evil spirit to come in, to misdirect you and to also compromise your and draw you into sin. And this is one thing I was told to warn this body about. Don't do this. Also, don't let clans form among you.
Clicks.
Am
I in the body here?
Yeah. And it's
explain that.
When the anointing is going to come, it's going to be, boy, I want to get with my friends and let's talk this over. Man, if you got the anointing, get with your enemies and talk it over. So clans are racist. When you become a clan, you become a racist. And you'll begin to persecute others in the body. And that'll bring a division. And with the power that's coming, and it's absolutely going to fall on you, you're going to have that, let's join together. Let's put a few of us together. No, he's building a church here. And he's not building a little old group out on the side either. So you that feel like planning, and as I said, it's okay for you to do your partying, but I encourage you, stay away from alcohol. For these that come close, now in the outer court they can drink and booze all they wanted to and party. But you're coming close to his glory. Your accountability is going to be greater. And those of you that's going to enter into his presence, you don't do it with booze. Because you get presumptuous with that glory. And you get presumptuous with the anointing. And you're all boozed up. You're going to have some funerals. I mean it. I have been laid low a couple of times. I wasn't boozed up, but I used the anointing wrong twice in my life. One time I had a death spirit on me for 5 months, and Mike and Emmy prayed for me continually. And it didn't lift until I went and raised the dead. And God gave me mercy then, but I had to lay flat on my back for 5 months. Stay sober. Stay vigilant.
I'm going to comment on that just because I'm not sure everybody's with you on that. What happened is that Bob was under the anointing once. We went on a ministry trip, and the power of the Spirit was on him in a great way. Demons were coming out, and the power of God was just knocking people over powerfully, and marriages put back together. And while the Spirit of the Lord was on Bob, he after the meeting was over, we were all sitting around talking, and someone was criticized by a national ministry. And Bob got angry in his human spirit. He said, Lord, just stop the works of that man's hands. Lord, stop him. Cut him off. And the Lord came to him later and told him this. He said, when you spoke under the anointing, even though what you spoke was illegal, I did not approve of it. You were under the power of the Spirit when you spoke it. There was still an impact in the spirit realm against that man.
I believe it.
And he says, when your human spirit is not subdued or not under the restraints of my Holy Spirit, he says, and the power is still on you because the gifts and callings are without repentance. The Lord puts them on his servants and they're on him. He says, and you sin under the anointing. He says, something came against that man. That man's going to have to fight in warfare against. And the Lord said, I'm not going to stop, but he's going to have to war against it now. There's going to be a negative thing coming against him. And he said, I was not giving you permission to do that. So for speaking 5 minutes under the anointing,
5 minutes
without permission, he says, you will spend 5 months on the bed of affliction. He says, and you will never do this again.
You better believe it.
When you get under the anointing of God and the higher purposes, when you get under the anointing of God and the higher purposes and you get careless and presumptuous, there's all kinds of greater problems and complex things in the spirit that happen.
That's right.
As long as we're in the outer court, just using that typology, when we're far away from the presence of the Lord, just a little anointing like what's going on right now in the nation, just a little anointing, even the most anointed or a little bit anointed, they can be careless and party spirit and do what they want and just kind of be, you know, well, isn't this just great, you know. But when they get more near to the dear things to God and the greater anointing, they cannot be careless. They cannot be flippant about the anointing of God, because judgment strikes the servants of the Lord with the higher anointing and the purposes that are more near his heart. And what Bob is saying is, out in the outer court, he says, you could partake of alcohol and have your little, you know, clans and divisions and kind of talk a little bit about this one and that one, and everybody's happy and nobody ever gets in trouble. But because you haven't been as near to the Lord as you're going to be. And that same kind of carelessness that comes with alcohol, if the Spirit of the Lord is on this people, the Lord will judge carelessness far more severe than he did before. And he says, you just don't want to, he's not trying to make a Bible doctrine one way or the other. But the point is that we get opened up to so many things, and carelessness and presumption is the number one thing that happens.
Amen.
We just get familiar with God and familiar with holy things when we're under just a little bit of influence of alcohol. And you just don't want that in your midst. You want to be concerned and careful before the Lord all the days of your life from this time forward. And that's what he's telling you. I take it very serious.
Yes. And any drugs that are rebellious drugs, to put them in your system is to invite Satan to come in. Now, that which the doctor gives you, those are permissible. And that's which the United States government says, it isn't a rebellious act you're doing. But marijuana, crack, these things, when you take these, this is a spirit. You open, if you're the husband and you're doing this in a family, you open up the family door of the devil and say, welcome. I mean, to your children, everything underneath you. So this is the warning I want to give you. Stay out of that garbage, because your praise is going to bring the presence of the Lord here. You'll begin to smell the flowers of God that'll float in your midst. Your intercession of what was being loosed in this body shall bring revelation of His holiness on levels that you never thought before. You're also going to be brought under conviction on things that you thought was permissible before too. And that's what He's calling you to. Growth. Grow up. You've been kindergarten children long enough. He's calling you to a higher level of accountability, to where that His glory can abide among you continually. This was the danger I saw. I wanted to give you the salt so I could put it in your eyes to where you could see, because it'll make you weep and it'll clear your eyes out to where you can see the Lord's way before I give you that what He was really saying. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it in a year. This is the goals that I'm going to give them. And He said, Psalms 133. It says in there, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And the word He was really saying was pleasant. Just circle that. Because I'm bringing a unity. And this is my goals for this body in the next year. I'm going to bring them into a pleasant place to where they have a unity with one another in my purpose. A common purpose. To where all of you, instead of having a racist groups, that you have a common cause and a common unity that the leaders, by revelation, will reveal to you. See, what's the next to that?
It's like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon
the head. The head, the oil upon the head.
Psalm 133.
Birds have nest and foxes have den, but the Son of Man, the God-man, Jesus the head and you the body. I have no body on which to put my head. I want to anoint a head over my body called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I want to bring anointed body to where the five senses that they have in their minds are bent in submission to the spirit man within, that they'll hear what I speak in the spirit, and it'll be spoken to their soul, their mind, to where they can speak those golden eggs and begin to buy back my body from captivity.
Eggs, the Bible always speaks of vision.
Life.
Because eggs have life that you can't see. That's what vision is. Life that you can't see right now. So He talks about golden eggs. Something about anointed vision being imparted.
He's bringing a head. Anointing a head that you people can follow.
Leadership.
It means He's going to bring leadership government. And what He's requiring then is, and the oil will run down on the head and even unto the beard. Beard speaks of maturity. Children don't grow beard. Those who come accountable grow beard. Brothers and sisters, growing up and becoming accountable for their own sins before God, to where it no longer becomes optional to them. Let me see. What is it?
Coming down upon the edge of his robes.
The robes. Anointed people going forth exhibiting righteousness. Going forth and touching people, freeing them from all types of demonic activity to where they can begin to grow in righteousness. You can't grow until you're free from demonic activity. That's what he's calling you. Deliverers. Will you be my deliverers to where my body can grow again? For righteousness is progressive. You are born again by the gift of righteousness. But after that, it's by what you eat is how you grow. You eat the word of God, you grow from righteousness to righteousness. You go from glory to glory until you continually, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, take on greater and greater levels of righteousness. That's what he's saying. Come close to me, but you're going to have to be righteous to do it. And then, once you come close to me, go and reveal my way to others so that they might become righteous too and become one with me in body. Righteousness, you continually grow in righteousness until you can reach up and take hold of holiness itself. Holiness itself brings commission and consistency. No more wavering. No more option. No more debate. No more religion, but a straight walk with the Lord. When you speak, it's not optional or debatable to the enemy because you're anointed, you're commissioned. You take the newest police officer in this town. Maybe he was just hired yesterday. He hadn't got the slightest idea what to do. And he goes out on the street, and there's a couple of rowdies out there, and he tells them to be quiet. And they call for four or five others, and they gang around him, and they push him down. He has authority in this town. He simply says, help. Next thing you know, police officers begin to come. If the rowdies continue to come or the spirit of lawlessness increases, he calls and every officer in this town comes. Every sheriff patrol in this county will come. If they are not enough, then you can call out every sheriff patrol in California and every law officer in California for that one man's authority. And then if that's not enough, you can call out the National Guard and you can call out every one that bears the uniform of the United States will come to that one man that's been hired by this town, that is the least in this town. And this is the principle of authority. Once you get anointed in God, you can call for the entire armies of God to come and accomplish what it needs to be. Now, Satan understands this authority. And when you reach up and take hold of holiness, and he can't debate you anymore or back you up anymore, he is defeated and he has to go because he knows that the entire power of God is behind that one. A little old baby just re-entered in and said, oh, the Lord anointed me to do this. And therefore God has said so. I'm not going to argue with you. You go. It's authority he's bringing in. And that's the way authority works. And that's why he doesn't want division here. But he wants you all to come into that unity. See, what's the rest of it?
On the robes, like on the dew of Hermon.
Yeah, the dew. That in Israel, many times, it's not the rain that makes things grow so much, but it's the morning dew. Morning by morning, getting that dew that comes from heaven. Seek, you should seek the Lord the first thing every morning and the last thing at night. Seek him before you get out of bed for about 5 minutes in the morning. And then you get the dew, the strength to last you all day. And give him your entire day at night. And you can rest. Like the dew that comes on Mount Hermon, on Mount Zion. What the Lord is calling you to, Zion, is his home. Zion is Papa's footstool. And what he's calling you to is come and cohabitate with me in the Spirit. In Ephesians 2:20, My foundation shall be apostles and prophets. For Ephesians 2:22, so that we all might cohabitate together in the Spirit. Papa wants to move in. And I'll tell you, once Papa moves in, you don't have to worry about the enemy. He won't knock on Papa's door. Papa is big. But you got to live under his rules and his regulations. Righteousness. Growing up. And this is what he's saying within a year. There the Lord commands the blessings. When Papa moves in, the blessings are commanded on you. You try to run from them, they'll jump in your back pocket. There the Lord commands the blessings upon you. That's what he's calling. Where he can command the blessings. What he wants to exhibit are the blessings. He commands the blessings upon you so that you might give it unto others. This is the words that he spoke today. His requirements, which is his way, and his blessings, which are far greater than any party spirit that you would ever enjoy in natural alcohol. For I'll tell you, get loaded on the Holy Spirit. He is exciting, and it goes day by day. I have walked with the Lord in the Spirit for years. It's more exciting now than it ever was. You never get bored. When you get a hold of God, I've seen times it took me years to figure out what he was saying. So what? I was trying. It excited me to try to find out what he was saying in my dreams and visions. When you begin to get excited in the Spirit of God, man, you just start drinking in the Holy Spirit. That's the one that keeps you loaded all the time in the Spirit. And you just bubbly all the time. Man, what's going on here, Lord? This is good. Just fill my lungs with more of the Spirit. And that's what he's doing to you. It's just like getting the drowned victim to life again. Out goes the bad water. In comes the good air. Out goes the bad air. In comes the good air of the Spirit. So what he's saying,
Bob? Let's hit on that that clicks thing again. Explain that more, like you did in Grandview.
Well, I don't remember that much of it. Can you remember? I remember that it's a rapacious spirit, to where that you reach out and begin to become a danger to one another. It clicks, it forms, and it brings ambition, brings competition. Ambition will bring competition in your midst. Competition will bring division. You'll have splits. You'll have headaches. You'll have every evil work. And that's in opposition to what you're anointed for, compassion. And when you flow in compassion, you don't have any reputation to uphold. You don't have any axe to grind. You're flowing in compassion. That's what you're called to. When you flow in compassion, it comes from the Spirit. Discernment of Spirit comes from the same place. You flow in compassion, you'll flow in discernment of Spirit. You'll discern people by love. You'll know their spirit. You move in ambition. Then your discernment will be soon. That man is coming to steal some of my sheep. I don't like that person because I remember Grandpa was like him and I didn't like Grandpa. That's suspicion. And you're moving out of that in your own ambition and out of your past. That's evil. Don't have any opinion about people. Have compassion for them. And then hear. You'll know their heart. And you'll move in true discernment of spirit, which worketh by love. And these cliques that form, you people, I have seen people, and this is the word I give our body. Now, you don't have a right to be put on our trip, because you're not that bad. I'm only warning you. I didn't see that many cliques in here. But there is the ability to form it. And what I saw in our body was those that have that anointing, and when the church was over, boy, they'd all run up here in a little group and just love and hug one another and kiss one another. Oh, we're such good friends. I knew you.
Just the friends with the friends, where the
right.
Majority were strangers watching it all happen.
Yeah, and then the Lord would show me, like the sister in back saying, Lord, they really love one another. And I can see you really love them. I wish you loved me. Oh, I would love to just have somebody to kiss me. And they would leave crying. And the Lord said, that's the one I love. Not you up here. You up here are the Pharisees. And you're letting the one that I'm going to justify beside the publican. You're letting that publican leave unministered to. I wanted to clean that publican. I wanted to bring her back into my presence. And you, my vessels, use up here in your self-righteousness, not serving me in any way. And now I don't want y'all coming up here in cliques no more and kissing one another anymore. If you're going to do that, you do it in your house. When you come into the house of the Lord, I want you to go the stranger. I want you to go those that have a need. Now, y'all do this real well. But this was our sin. And he said, I don't want any person leaving my body not being touched by somebody. So those that your friends and even your family, you meet with them later. But in my house, you minister to my sheep that are hurting. You minister to the stranger. No, those that you see. Him. Well, the brother was a born again man, but he persecuted me quite a bit. I didn't love him at all. And the Lord says, you can't love me because you love me as much as you love him. So from that time forth, I started loving my enemies because that's how much I love the Lord. And especially my enemies in the body. So when they come to persecute me now, I can truly love them because I love them as much as I love the Lord. Because that's the way it has to be. You've got to love the body first before you can even relate to the Lord in love. And so I saw the possibility of this forming here. And this would be an evil that would blow your anointing. You that really have the bubbly, and you have the kissing and the loving. Yep. Then you go give it to somebody that's dying of thirst. You go give it to somebody that hadn't eaten a long time. When you do, you'll find the Spirit of God is with you to touch your lives mightily. For if you want to remain free in Christ, then you must give away what's in you. For you will never be able in your selfish self to please and be happy. But it's when you give Christ and yourself to another that you become content and you served a purpose. That's what was put within you. And you can leave, minister to yourself. I've never ministered to anybody that I myself wasn't ministered to with the Spirit of God. You won't either. Real contentment, real soulish peace in your mind comes when you give yourself to another. And line up with God. That's what he did. That's what Jesus did. And it brings you into a place of total rest in your spirit, of total peace in your mind. And your flesh will be quieted.
One of the applications, our pastoral team that we've sought to just encourage in response to that word, is that we've encouraged the people just to simply do two or three things.
to go to people who they don't know and say, hello, my name is so-and-so, what is your name? And ask just two or three simple, like, history questions about their life. You know, where do you work? Where do you live? How did you get here? Who told you about the service? How long you been going here? Just a couple history questions that are non-threatening. And then just give a sentence or two about yourself, and then end it with this. Is there anything right now that is a need in your life that I could pray for you for just a moment, that you don't have to give some marathon prayer for 10 yeah. minutes, and you know, then they get irritated because you're trying to bless them and you won't let them go. But just a simple, even 30 yeah. to 60 seconds. So we're really training them to go to people, amen. Even if they're people who've been in the body for a long time, they don't know. Just say, you know, I've seen you around. What is your name? My name's this. Like I said, a couple of history questions. When did you meet the Lord would be a possibility. How did you get here? Where do you work? How did you get to work there? Tell me about your children. You're married or you're single. You know, a couple of howls on that. You know, tell us a little bit about your children. Just a couple moments of history questions, which shows concern is what it does, and then amen. Ending it, and then give a little bit about yourself, just a couple of minutes. Don't make it a marathon. And what it does is it creates a little bit of familiarity so that the next time you can even talk
amen.
In a more in-depth way. And you simply say, hey, is there just anything for just a moment, and assure them it's just a moment, you know, just for a moment that I could pray for you right now. Any need in your life or your family or your job, and you'll find three out of four of them will say, well, amen. You know, the truth of it is my Aunt Rosie, she's sick right now, and I'm really concerned about it. Say, well, good. Can, not good, she's sick, but good. Can we pray about this?
Yes.
Take their hand, just wait on the Lord, and make it short. And you can do that in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Sometimes the Lord will really be there, and it will be very natural to keep going. To do that with even two people every service, two or three. And to make, you know, kind of hanging out with the familiar friends a second priority, we're not against that at all. But let's come into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, hear
absolutely.
The word, to reach out to two or three people. That's all we got to aim for. It's not some like 10 or something you never is possible to do. Mm-hmm. And simply to have that awareness, that availability to the Lord to cross those barriers. Now, most people are so afraid to go to a person they don't know and be friendly to them because they're thinking that person will probably not like me being friendly to them. And so much of the body of Christ is paralyzed through that fear. Because the majority of the people here would love if someone came up to them for a few minutes. They don't want an hour dialogue. They don't want to, be sensitive about it. Just keep it 3 or 4 minutes. And that will begin to build new lines of communication,
yes.
tear down some of those walls. And the Lord's told us if we would do that simple thing, He would begin to enrich our gatherings together, even with greater worship.
Amen.
Because what we've been doing is coming in, and we got, you know, several hundred people that know each other real good, and they're little 10s and 12s, and everybody normally sits in the same place anyway. Most people do. So you even know the people around you who are new, who you haven't talked to. The strangers are pretty easy, of course, in the vineyard, you know, it's the people with ties. But isn't that true? But just look, you can tell who the strangers are, and they don't have to be strange to the new to the body. They just be new to you. They could have been here for 5 years, and you've been here 5 years, but you've never had one even little conversation with them. Instead of coming up before the meetings and after the meetings, you know, the 6 or 8 over here, and the 6 or 8 back there, and the 4 or 5, and all the strangers or the lonely, and they may not even be strangers, but they're still lonely. They're
that's
sitting
right.
back saying, I wish that I had 4 or 5 people to sit around with and laugh with and just
get to know those who live among you.
Casual with. And so we really, really need to take these gatherings with a sense of mission in them, not just
yes.
personal enjoyment, but we're going to make some other people feel comfortable in the family of God, make them feel wanted. If someone hadn't been there for a while, say, man, I haven't seen you for a while. You know, I don't even know you. I just noticed you haven't been here. Anything wrong as the Lord, you know, I'm not saying you're backslidden, but you've been out of town, you know, I care about you. A
absolutely.
Little bit of interaction like that
amen.
Would make a world of difference.
Become a giver and a carer instead of a taker.
Amen.
Become, and instead of an observer, become a participator. That's what He wants you to be, a participating church.
Amen. Now, the next service, we're going to try to do the same thing. So there's no point in, you know, I'd go home and go meet somebody, go rest, or I wouldn't come back to the next service because we're going to hit some of the same agenda because it was a word from the Lord. He gave him in the night visions last night. So we want to make sure that's the priority, just to say it again. So I don't feel like you're going to miss out on something. I encourage you not to come back and just...